Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Last Call Ambo. This is our one episode that we get pre-draft with people who know a lot more about the draft than we do. So this is...
Which, for me, that's not a high bar to clear, but it's fine.
I love these episodes because I always walk away learning more than I knew before we started. So I am one of your hosts, as always, Monty Moore, and I am joined... as always, also by Aaron Alice, but our special guest this week is Justice Mosqueda. Justice, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? It's sunny out here, so I'm happy.
Yeah, it's already warm and hot season in Phoenix here. It was like 92 today, and it's not going to be
Christ.
It's not going to be under 88 for like the next 10 days at least. So we're going to have a lot of 90s already.
Say like 5 months.
Yeah. I thought you were for sure going to say it until like
No, winter. That's true too. Yeah.
I'm fantastic. Good to be here. It's been a while. It's been like 3 weeks since we've recorded. So
yeah, and so I'm glad. You know, we were just talking about the draft should have already happened. Like, it's ridiculous that it's still a week away at this point.
It's getting miserable. Twitter's getting real bad.
Yeah, it does. It does give us a chance to actually have a pre-draft show. So before we start, as always, what is everyone drinking? If you are drinking anything, I went with, I'm just having some Knob Creek. I went Knob Creek single barrel because this is more of a sophisticated episode. So, you know, I had to class up the joint.
Yeah, that's this show and sophisticated often go together. I am drinking, so it's National Banana Day, and I just decided I had some bananas and I would make a banana simple syrup, and I mix it with some salted caramel whiskey and some bitters, and so made a little banana old fashioned, I guess.
That sounds pretty good.
It's like a bananas Foster. It's delicious.
What did you have to like strain the bananas after you?
Well, yeah, like, because I had to, like, kind of mash them as it was cooking.
Yeah.
And it's very thick, and partially because I think I boiled it a little too long, but then also because I think a lot of it just dissolved into the syrup, so it's, like, yeah, kind of thick. It's like a caramel sauce thick, and I'm like, a little too much, but I'm learning.
I don't have a damn thing right now. I'm going to be honest. I'm in an Airbnb right now, so I haven't really, like, refilled anything.
Restock the fridge of the Airbnb.
Right. I haven't slept in my own bed for almost 2 full months now.
Oh my gosh.
That's how I've been. Don't let your water heater blow up. At least it's not my It's my landlord. It's my water
heater. Damn. 2 months? Jesus. How much longer?
We just got told like 2 weeks ago that we're actually going to have to move. So, but we found another apartment and all this.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God.
Other than that, very annoying.
Other than that, it's pretty boring for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that.
So if you're new to the show, we build a drink out of the topics, and booze is the most important part. So for that, we are going to be talking about the recent, not necessarily the off-season program starting, but you know, they're back doing workouts. Because this is all voluntary stuff right now. And then we'll move on to the mixer, which is just kind of going to be an outlook on what the draft is going to look like for the rest of the division. And then for the garnish, where we kind of go whatever direction we want, I'll save that one to the end for a surprise. But so to kick it off, draft is next week. This is a highly anticipated draft just because we went from, are the Packers rebuilding, to now like the window's open for them to contend? So it's, every pick is going to be highly, I mean, they're always highly scrutinized, but it feels like immediate contributors are going to mean more than they have the last couple of years.
Yeah. You forgot to introduce our drinking rule.
Oh, I did. Sorry.
I already have one that I really want to do.
Okay. So in honor of national holiday of, it's going to be 420 on Saturday. We're going to do any puns, jokes, or references related to anything having to do with 420. So Aaron, I'm going to give you a joke.
You're going to have a good time.
That was actually pretty good.
Thank you.
I liked it.
Also, I will be doing my draft drinking rule where if I recognize a name that these two talk about, I will have a drink, which I don't think will be that many because I've been trying to like avoid Twitter to just like, because it's been
smart.
It's been really brutal, especially the last few weeks. So we'll see how this goes.
So, I mean, we're in a position right now. I mean, I feel like this far into the process, you know, the only thing that has to happen is the draft itself. Everyone kind of has like where they think the Packers are going to go specifically in the first round. Like they're set to pick at 25. There's been a lot of rumors that they might move up with, is it Seattle at 16? If they want to trade up, like that's the trade up target. But there's only a handful of positions that, if they went there, you'd be shocked. But which position do you guys think could be a sneaky, they might take this position in the first? Because I know they have a lot of needs, but there might be that, you know, if the board falls their way, do they take a guy that no one thinks they're going to at a position they don't think they need to right away?
I think the sneaky ones are arguably their biggest needs, right? And it's just because there's not players there. And it's linebacker and safety. I know, who was it? Kuiper had one linebacker going in the first two rounds and two safeties, none in the top like 60, basically, at the safety position. So, I mean, maybe they look at a guy like Newbin and they just say like, hey, yeah, the numbers were bad, but it's because he's coming off of, you know, his meniscus issue and stuff.
Like yeah. That.
He basically had, what Bakhtiari had done. Is what I understand.
Let's pass. I don't even want to fucking deal with that again.
Well, he actually got the surgery when he was told. So,
oh, what do you know?
Yeah, funny how that works.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah, and then linebacker, obviously, they brought in Edgerrin Cooper on a visit. He's the top linebacker in this class. I've talked to a couple people in the league. I kind of think he's going to be the first linebacker off the board. So,
yeah.
That's the situation there. So I kind of think them, I mean, maybe like would edge rusher surprise people? Like maybe considering they have like a first round pick as their third pass rusher, but I mean,
I think if Enagbare didn't get hurt, you'd be surprised if they did it. But yeah, since he's not going to be ready for half the season at best,
who knows what is going to happen with Preston long-term, right? One, he's already up there in age. And then two, he's a guy who is basically playing on incentives this year.
Yeah.
With the way his contract is structured. So, you know, there's at least a little bit of hesitation on how he's going to transition to this new scheme. I think that's probably fair. So, yeah, I mean, maybe edge rusher, but
I know you're a huge fan of taking a corner early. I know that was your crusade.
I just, the team likes their corners. They like their corners so much. They traded Russell Douglas at the deadline.
Yeah.
Right.
And they went out of their way to bring everyone back. They brought three guys in free agency back to the team. It looks like they're going to give a real chance to Stokes and Valentine to win outside. I think there are some corners that make more sense than others. Like if it's Cooper DeJean, wouldn't surprise me at all. He might be a guy who can play safety early on and transition to corner, you know, later in his career. I think most teams are going to look at him as a corner, but the Packers' safety need is so big that, you know, if the debate is Anthony Johnson Jr. or do we keep Cooper DeJean on the bench? Like, guys, I think they're going to try to play him at safety.
Yeah.
And then Kool-Aid McKinstry is a guy who they seem to be interested in just based off.
I know you've heard of that one, Aaron, for sure.
He's a guy that they seem to be interested in. He can play man defense, all that stuff. He's another guy who is a little bit limited in the pre-draft process because of injury. They found I think it's a Jones fracture in his foot, which is basically like the base of the pinky toe. They found that at the combine. He ended up running his pro day. Didn't run that great, but again, I mean, he's still recovering right now. So if they think that there's upside there and he ends up falling in the draft, I could see them doing that. Outside of that, there's not a lot of corner names that make a lot of sense to me that are actually going to be there. Like Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo is great. Terrion Arnold from Alabama is great. I would be pretty surprised if they're available there at 25.
Yeah, and what do you – so, Aaron, I'll ask you this first.
Oh, God.
Like, if you could pick, like, a dream – like, not necessarily players because that's – not my forte. Too much, there's way too much variance there because the board could fall a different way or whatever. But if the Packers walk away, in your opinion, like, what's the dream scenario for the draft? Like, in terms of what, like, what positions they might solidify, or even just like, if you want them to draft with a certain strategy for this current team, like what it's going to mean for next year.
Well, I think, I think the biggest in the most, based on what I know about the draft, is like, it seems like I want them to walk away with, and they probably will because they always do, with multiple linemen, because that is exactly what they do every draft.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's a pretty good year for them to be drafting linemen. So, and there's just a lot of question marks on what they're going to do. They may be more confident, but obviously all that we're reading and seeing is like, oh, are they going to move Zach Tom to center, or like, is Rashid Walker the guy or not? Like, I know there's just a lot of debate going on. So that makes me a little, I'm believing the hype of like, we don't really, and they're all like still really young. So like, you still don't know long-term right. who's going to do what. So I just always think that like, I would imagine they're going to pick a tackle pretty early, just because it just seems like that's a pretty good position to in the draft right now. I don't know. Again, I do not read draft content. My brain can't comprehend it, but
yeah, I mean,
that would be what I'd be happy with, of getting like some really good linemen. I think really comforting after getting rid of Bakhtiari and knowing he's not part of their like couple year plan.
Yeah. I mean, to be blunt, I think they have to draft three linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because not only, because like your starting five is relatively set. Like, they could play a game tomorrow with their starting five linemen.
Right.
But, you know, one of those guys gets injured, then you're plugging in depth pieces, which right now is like Royce Newman. So,
he's the only guy with real playing time on the bench right now. The other guys are Caleb Jones, who they haven't even officially announced, signed his ERFA tender, which I assume he's already done. Doesn't cost the team hardly anything.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Luke Tenuta, who they've kind of just been stashing, and then Kadeem Telfort, who was on the practice squad. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to fill a lot of depth. Plus, like, Myers is on a contract year.
Yep.
Tom and Rashid Walker, I guess Ryan, too. They're 2 years out. I mean, that's part of the conversation with Walker. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you like Walker. Great. He's going into his third year. Do you like Walker enough to pay him?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Those like tackle money.
That need to be have.
Yeah.
Not just tackle money. Left tackle money.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, that's why I'm saying three. They have to take three, because one of those three, this is like, I would say one of those three you want to start this year. Like, meaning if they have, I mean, to.
You like, just want to add competition in there in general. Right. That's why I think the Tom to center stuff is kind of interesting, where I'm like, okay, they're willing to move these guys around. That's good. And then, you know, Myers can play guard too. He's done that in the past.
Yeah.
And then you just have, you know, Mad Max at the right guard position. I'm totally fine with that. Like, get Myers, Ryan, and whatever the second, you know, offensive line pick that they have, make them fight at right guard and mm-hmm. let the best guy start. Like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that makes me a little nervous about Ryan is he couldn't win the starting job against Runyon, and they let Runyon walk. So like,
Runyon's a $10 million per year.
Right. Yeah. And I'm very happy they did not pay him, but I am like concerned that like he couldn't win that starting job. Like, they gave him the opportunity to win it and he did not. Unless that's a LaFleur thing where he's like, we're not going to bench Runyon because we just feel like we shouldn't. That seems like a very Matt LaFleur
pull. Well, I think it was a weird sign that Runyon was pretty much one foot out the door. Everybody knew that. And he was, they were still splitting time with him, even though nobody thought he was really going to be back. So, I mean, yeah, the Giants decided they didn't want to re-sign Xavier McKinney, but wanted to pay John Runyon $10 million a year. So
quite a strategy.
That's their strategy.
Or Saquon.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But, and that's why I think specifically when you're talking about like Ryan, it's like, we want him to be good, obviously, because that further goes into breaking the third round pick curse and all that. But it's by no means like, is the job his, like, it just is now by default. So you could absolutely upgrade there.
The other thing too, Newman is one of the few ways that the Packers can actually create cap space this year. I don't know what the NFLPA is going to do about this, but like, so like a rookie salary is basically like the minimum, right? When players get paid on rookie deals, most of that comes in the form of a signing bonus on the front end, right?
Okay.
And then you're just basically playing at the minimum from there on out. Newman hit the playing time escalators that the NFL has implemented now that like jump up his salary. So now he's, I think he was like a tier two escalator guy. So like he's going to make like $3 million per year now in this final season. And it's like, that's not an insignificant amount of money. And this guy's a backup now. And he's on a 1-year contract and he has no guarantees moving forward. Like that's,
he's got 9 lives, I swear. Like,
I think depending on how many guys that they add in the draft, Newman might be a guy who they could potentially, you know, release at the cut down deadline or something to create cap space. And that's a real thing. Like that's, I don't know if it helps people. Like they got him, if they're going to do the playing time escalators thing for guys, they just need to hand them the cash and not have it count against the cap is what I would say if I were the NFLPA. Like having teams use that as leverage against you is probably not what the NFLPA envisioned.
There's no way. Yeah. There's no way.
They didn't put that in there that reason.
Yeah.
Well, but when's the next time they can even negotiate with the NFLPA? Like when is that even? It's like
10 years.
Oh, it's like, whenever. Yeah, it's like
10 years from pandemic, right? So
yep.
Oh yeah. Oh,
yeah, you're 6 years out still.
Yeah.
Because they rushed to sign that deal, which I get why they did it. I don't know why they made it a 10-year deal, but I get why they did it to just lock in the money, but.
Yeah, and it's not like they can't do what Mahomes can do. He signs a 10-year contract. We can negotiate it every 3 years and change it. Like when you're locking in a CBA, it's like we have all these grievances. Oh, you better wait 6 years to see if they still bother you. Because
I mean, the biggest one, I don't know if you guys have noticed this. The NFL fines have like tripled in the last 2 years, and it's been all defensive players.
It's been ridiculous.
And the even when the NFL talked about like the weight dropping thing, I forget what they call it. I know they
drop
it on hip drop.
Yeah.
Crock of shit.
yeah.
But even when they did it, they're like, yeah, it's gonna be really hard to call on the field. Like we're probably not gonna get this called on the field a lot. And I'm like, you're just fining defensive players and then writing it off as charity so you don't have to pay taxes. And I'm like,
you had a lot of players going to Twitter during the season when like those fines got announced, and like they're just stealing money from us now. Like you had several players.
It's going to be a huge thing. The next negotiation on if there's oversight on the fine process, because the NFL is like, okay, we don't want to hurt the product. We're going to make these ridiculous rules that we can't enforce, and we'll just wait until Tuesday of the regular season, and we'll just fine you for what you did on Sunday. And everyone else around the sport is like, this is the stupidest idea in the world.
Well,
enforce the rules on the field. No other league does this.
If you're a depth level player and you're like, you know, a replacement level player, like
lose your whole check.
Yeah, your game check.
You'll lose your full game check. Yeah,
for sure. Aaron, you missed that one. I said your check was up in smoke.
That was a good one. That was very, very smooth.
Yeah. Imagine that, right? A special teams player gets that stupid hip drop tackle called on him because the league's trying to make an example early in the season and like, oh, I just worked for free this week. That's cool.
Yeah, it's going to cost them the game. And like, early, it's going to be very early. It'll probably be like opening night. Like it'll.
Let's
like,
be on brand here. It's going to cost the Packers in the playoffs. So, like on the game-winning drive, they're going to get a free 15-yard penalty. I'm sure
we'll beat the Cowboys, lose to the Niners.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Super sim. You know, the script is written.
I'm tired of it. Tired of this shit.
All right. So to stick with like this year's draft though, let's like specifically talk about, I think, day one, right? Because the Packers have, you know, they pick at 25, but they have those 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. Like if you had to call your shot right now, do they pick at 25 or do they move up? I know there hasn't been any talk about moving down, which is always a possibility, but they already have what seems like too many picks. So I don't really think they're going to move down. So if you had to pick one on stay or move up, what would you pick?
they're gonna go down. Like they're just fucking.
It makes no sense.
Like it's going like, but maybe they'll get like future capital. I mean, maybe they'll do some like what they did when they drafted Jair, where they moved back and then moved back up.
Bubble,
like,
yeah,
yeah.
Because they have 11 picks, and I didn't think they were gonna pick 11 last year.
No, and they fucking did. I certainly don't think
they're gonna do it.
And it was like again. 11 the year before too.
Yeah,
and people were
yeah.
like, nah.
Like yeah, they're running out of spots that these guys can didn't even play in. So.
I mean, they're running out of roster spots in general. Like, they're only going to be able to sign a handful of UDFAs, which, like,
yeah,
they seem like they're out on that because of the price of signing bonuses for undrafted guys anyway. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting. I think there's a chance that they can move up. I think they're kind of sitting in a good spot for what they need. But if they see a guy like Olufoshanu from Penn State who seems to be falling out of favor, even though, like, when the season ended, I mean, real debates whether he or all.
He was like blue chip.
Tackle like, one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or J.C. Latham, who apparently they seem to like. If one of those guys drops, I think they would probably consider moving up. I mean, Brian's talked about it all the time where he's like, yeah, if I like the guy, like I'm just going to go up and get him.
Yeah, I want the player.
But, I mean – So I looked at like ESPN's. I don't know if you guys played around on it, the like draft day predictor thing, which like is whatever. I'm not assuming that it's going to be the most accurate thing in the world.
Yeah, it's just an exercise mostly.
Right, and they were just they listed off like I'm gonna make it so Aaron's immune to drinking in this because I'm gonna rattle off a bunch of names. But so these are the non-quarterbacks, non-wide receiver, non-tight ends. Who are expected to have less than a 10% chance of being there at 25, right? So these are, okay, you know, potential Packers draft targets, right? Yeah. I don't think they're going to take a quarterback, a receiver, a tight end with the young guys that they have right now.
Right.
That's not a hot take. I just wanted that qualifier in there on the front end. So Joel, Tyleese Fuaga, Olufoshanu, J.C. Latham, Byron Murphy, Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Terron Arnold, and then Quentin Mitchell are the guys that are, like, expected to be off the board. So the guys who are kind of –
for the record, I think I only recognize three of those names anyway.
Well, here comes the second list. So these are kind of the guys that we're going to have the conversation at 25, right? Mm-hmm. Troy Fotanu, Amarius Mims, Graham Barton, Jackson Powers-Johnson, Tyler Guyton. Those are all offensive linemen. Jerzon Newton, the defensive lineman. Laiatu Latu, Chop Robinson, Darius Robinson on the edge. And then at DB, it's Cooper DeJean, who can play safety corner. Nate Wiggins, who I think is way too small for the Packers at corner, and then Kool-Aid McKinstry. Like those are the guys.
Yeah, wasn't Wiggins like 175 or something like that?
Teeny tiny, and he had like an injury immediately at the combine. Yeah, I mean, it's the NFL, baby. Who's that kid? There was that kid who got drafted by the Commanders last year out of Mississippi State in the first round.
Oh,
was like what? He went before Gonzalez, and then. Immediately they were like, he is entirely too small to play on an NFL football field. Why did we draft a 160-pound corner? It's like, yeah, dude. These are grown ass men.
You got 5'9 QBs getting drafted first overall, so you know.
And how'd that turn out?
It's the small ball era in the NFL.
Yeah.
But I've seen, you know, people say as many as like 4 to 6 QBs get taken in the first, which like
that's arguably that feels like a lot.
I think 4 are going in the top 4.
Right. Yeah. The first 4 picks are going to be QBs probably. Ooh. And then, so you've gotten, you figure it'd be some order of Williams, May, Daniels, and McCarthy.
McCarthy. Yeah. McCarthy. Like,
let's hope that's the Vikings taking.
Those are the guys. Yeah. Those are the guys. Everyone is like first round pick for sure. We'll see what happens with Penix and Nix.
Right, yeah, I was gonna say those could be late first guys, maybe.
Dang,
yeah,
feels like it's been a while since we've had a draft like that, but
there's not enough QBs in the NFL. That's why.
I mean, there's a lot of teams that just don't have. Like, do you guys know who the Patriots quarterback is right now?
No, because Mac Jones went to the
whoever they're fucking drafting.
Mac Jones went to the what? Jaguars?
Yeah, there's teams that like they just have to take them, and I mean even Minnesota, right? Like,
yeah,
are you really gonna start Sam Darnold with all these weapons around you right before
is leaving if they fucking
you just got an offensive line. You have Addison on a rookie deal. You just traded for Hawkinson. Jefferson is about to get paid. you're really gonna use this year?
You're gonna just play Sam
Darnold for 17 games? Really?
Yeah. Don't see it.
No way.
And you have two first round picks? I'm not buying it.
I think one last thing about this, because this is a good opportunity, we'll move into the next part. We could talk about the rest of the NFC North in their draft. I just think that if they get into that position where, you know, at 25, they're sitting there, and it could be, I mean, I'd be fine with them taking, what would you consider like an unsexy pick? Like offensive line? I think that'd be a maniac.
A lot of Packers fans. Yeah. A lot of Packers fans might like that at this point.
I think the content creators hate the offensive line pick. I think they're just like, we don't know how to talk about it.
So yeah.
I guess the Tom stuff now like opens up debate and stuff, and people can talk about that. But I think writers in general are against offensive line, even though it's what I think they should do, just because people are like, cool, how do we talk about this?
Highlights are not fun to show off. Yeah. I mean,
because I think what could be an unsexy pick that I would be fine with, though, is if they took a guy like Newton from Illinois. Because, I mean, there's a question whether or not they're going to re-sign Kenny Clark, right? And
yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. Right?
Yeah. If you don't, that's great insurance. And if you do, you've got an even more stout D line, because Newton is gigantic. Like, they don't have who's their biggest D lineman, Justice? Probably Slayton.
Slayton for sure. And I don't know if Slayton is a scheme fit in this team. Slayton's another guy who got one of those playing time performance escalators and stuff like that. And he's on the last year of his deal. I kind of wonder if they look at D line in this draft and they get another penetrator, I wonder if they look at Slayton and they're like, it's probably better if we send you off to somewhere else and you get like a fifth round pick back for it.
Yeah.
You don't have to just like waste your year to be a run plugger in a defense where we just want our defensive linemen to get into the backfield every single play. You know?
Right. Yeah. So that would be my least exciting pick that I would still be fine with. Cause like I'll never complain about beefing up either line, but especially the D line.
Yeah, I would say offensive line, because like that's kind of a pick that I would not like. Again, I don't know anything about the talent, so my reaction, I don't give a shit who they draft in the first round, like, or the position at this point, because I feel like they are in a really good shape going into this draft. When you take into account linebacker and safety are apparently not like very deep in this class, like they could take anybody. And I think I'd be at this point pretty happy, but yeah, I mean, offensive line is never a sexy pick. I mean, think about, everybody always wants wide receivers and corners because they're flashy and they're fun to look like, they're fun to watch. So of course, like that, anything outside of those two is always going to be an unsexy pick in my opinion. But I would say offensive line, just because I feel like feels likely, but I also wonder if they're just going to be like, whoever falls to us, we're going like best player available. Cause
I think to me, it's one specific guy. Cause that list of names that I rattled off earlier, right? Guyton is the one that is kind of like, he's the guy who's a year away. Right.
Okay.
So it's like, it's almost like taking Rashid Walker again, but you're doing it way earlier in the draft. And like, yeah, you're going to have him under contract for three more years starting 2025. But like, I don't know if he'd play this year, to be totally honest. Like, he's pretty raw. But like, Fatanu, Mims,
same thing with a guy like Mims, right, though? Because Mims didn't play a ton, but
ton, but he's up there in terms of pure just like athletic talent.
Yeah, you can't teach his biggest strengths, which is that he's the size of a fucking grizzly bear. So,
and he like is built like a basketball player at the same time. It's crazy. His build is nuts. But yeah, I mean, Mims is a guy. If you guys don't know, I think his first
you guys start, don't know. Aaron doesn't know.
Well, I'm talking to the audience at this point. Mims is the right tackle from Georgia. His first start, I believe, was the college football semifinal against Ohio State. Big stage. And then this past year, I think he only played like seven games because he had a high ankle sprain that needed a tightrope surgery. I can't remember who on the Packers had that this year. I think there were like one or two players who ended up having that. Ended up coming back to play the end of the season, got hurt in the SEC championship game, and then obviously Georgia was out of the playoffs and all that stuff. Right. So, you know, a lot of guys didn't play in the bowl. So in terms of like high quality competition, Mims didn't get a whole lot of it, and he's like a three-fourths of a year starter, basically, yeah, at the college level. But
you're really drafting on projection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, again, they can afford to do that because, like we said, their five is set. So, like, if their left tackle goes down, then Mims plays, right? And but yeah, then there's the danger because he's so raw. I'm not worried about Green Bay, like, ruining the development of any offensive lineman because I just explicitly trust them with like all the with that unit at this point. But like if he's a project and he's got to go in before he's ready, that's obviously a downside. But I mean, the good thing is we spent 30 minutes on that first segment because there's so many different directions they can go because they don't, you know, their needs are obvious, but they're also solid enough where they can, if a best player available falls to them, they're in position to take it. So,
yeah.
All right, so we'll pack the bowl on that one and move on to the next part, is so 2024 is going to be a really interesting season for the NFC North overall. Like, we know the Bears have the number one pick. They're probably taking Caleb Williams. We just talked about the Vikings are obviously on the hunt for their quarterback because they acquired it. Did they get an extra first or they just moved up?
They got an extra first. They have like 11 and 22 or something.
Right. So package those and they can move up into that top five or top 10 that we're talking about. And then the Lions are, they're still the team to beat. They won the division last year. So, I mean, the NFC North went from one of the either worst or just mediocre divisions to the potential to be, they could be like the stud young QB division next year.
Mm-hmm. And Jared Goff.
Yeah.
And then Jared Goff. And
there's Jared Goff.
That door slammed shut so quick.
Because they didn't pay him yet, did they?
Not yet.
No.
Okay.
Very excited for the day that they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they drafted Hendon Hooker in like the second round last year.
Right. Just and redshirted him the whole time. He's not the future.
Like, he's so, 26. He's older than Jordan Love.
Jordan Love. My favorite thing is that, you know, this was Jordan Love's first year as a starter and his backup is older than him, who is a rookie. That's like, I love that stat. That's never going to get old. But yeah, so outside of what the Packers are going to do, because we just talked about that, which team do you think is in the position to have not necessarily the most impactful draft? Because like Bears have the number one pick, they're picking a QB. Like if all things work out, that's going to be the most impactful pick, but who can set themselves up best?
With the Bears though, they only have like what, three picks
for that's
entire draft. Like that's a rough spot to be in. I mean, granted,
they pick at one, like, nine, and then like
I'm not very again curious until... of what they do with that nine, like that number nine. Do they pick? Because a lot of people want them to pick a wide receiver, but like also they have one pick after that.
Right.
And like I do not know. I don't know. I would not be surprised if they ended up trading to get some picks to fall back a little bit. But
like sticking with the Bears specifically, like so you just look at, right, so like they have the first pick, they're going to take Caleb Williams or whatever QB you think they might pick. I just pretty much assumed it's going to be him. But then with the amount of other quarterbacks that are going to get taken, and we figure Marvin Harrison Jr. will get the first receiver taken. Yeah, I mean, at nine, they're going to have their pick of what wide receiver they want if they want to do that.
I think Neighbors will be gone by then, but I think Rome Odunze is going to be an option. I think.
Yeah.
Brock Bowers is probably in the conversation starting at that point. And then the other guy is Byron Murphy, the defensive lineman out of Texas. There's not, I mean,
see the one that just got.
No, that was a different one. That was okay, Sweat. Okay. Sweat was the one who got the DUI.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, Murphy is, you know, easily the best penetrating three technique in this class. College football is doing a terrible job at developing inside linebackers and interior defensive linemen because of the way
everything is spread. Running. Yeah.
The Texas guy is the guy I would watch there. And then Odunze, and then, you know, Bowers is at least in the conversation, but I'd probably be a little bit more surprised if it were him. But I think those are the three guys in the mix there think Minnesota's moving up for a QB.
Because they just paid Kmet. So to like pay Kmet all that money.
Yeah.
And then take a tight end at nine. Like
that also sounds very on brand for them because some of their moves are a big question mark where it's like, why? I don't get paying DeAndre Swift all that money from their standpoint. I just am like, you guys have so many fucking holes. Like at this point, like I would have spent that money elsewhere. But then again, they also have a lot of cap space. So do whatever. But
Bowers is so weird because he's like, what Debo is to the wide receiver position, Bowers kind of is to like the slot receiver position. And that right. like he's oversized, but he can do all those things. So you can like move him around. I don't think Bowers is ever going to be a hand in the dirt type of tight end. Like maybe you do that a little bit just to be, you know, so you're not in 12 personnel.
You're tipping your hand all the time.
But like spread sets, he's going to be in the slot. In 12 personnel, he's going to be the tight end who's off the ball. Stuff like that. So I think there's a way that you could have Kmet and him on the field at the same time and then not have it be redundant. I mean, he's kind of, no one wants to use the comparison, but it's like he's the best guy in that role since him. And it's, you know, Aaron Hernandez, right? Like,
yeah,
he's that kind of a guy. He's not the Gronk type of guy. He's the Aaron Hernandez type of guy. Like if you gave carries to Brock Bowers, no one, I don't think anyone would complain about, you know, like that's the kind of dude he is. So I think of nine, you know, between Adunze and Bowers kind of being more like, what do you want that third pass catching option to kind of be in your offense? And like, okay, do you want it to be a true wide receiver and you want to be 11 personnel all the time? Or do you want to have that guy be more of a little bit of a chess piece, I guess is kind of the question.
Yeah. It's so interesting too, because like the Bears are presumably going to fix their QB problem with their pick. And we just talked about the Vikings seem to be wanting to do the same thing. It's so awesome that Jordan Love and the plan worked, because in a year where like the other half of the division is going to get like what should be good young quarterbacks. Like I don't really care who they take, because like, I believe in who the Packers have. And like, I believe in them going forward. So it's like, I don't care that the Bears are going to get Caleb Williams, because I'm not worried about the Packers quarterback. So
I'm also not worried about the Bears developing. Like, I mean, it's one of those things, like you have to show me that this is what you're.
That's absolutely true.
Like, I'm not going to be scared until you give me a reason to be scared.
The best thing you can say for sure is that they're in a position to fix it better than they ever have been in our lifetimes. Like, I'll put it like, in terms of like where they can pick and who they have available at where they're picking. This is like their best chance ever.
Right.
The thing with Caleb to me is not necessarily him. Like he's going to go number one overall. He deserves it, all that stuff. But like the closest comparison to him in the NFL is probably Kyler. And Kyler came like into the NFL and was instantly like the 11th best quarterback in the league. But he's like still the 11th best quarterback.
Right.
So like if Caleb does that, I'm not that worried. Minnesota, depending on what quarterback they would potentially look at. I really like Drake May. If they got Drake May in that offense, they're going to be a bitch to play for a couple years. And like, they're going to have to pay everyone eventually. And like, they're going to have to like rebuild around him and like all that stuff down the line. But like if May comes in into that offense, I think he could light the world on fire a little bit. And I'm a little bit worried about that, even though I know, you know,
I would be surprised if like what the Patriots and the Commanders like allowed the Vikings to straight up to get there.
I have no idea.
Unless they trade like Justin Jefferson.
Well, there's some people who are like McCarthy might go before May. I'm like, okay, I guess have fun.
Man, I would way rather have the Vikings get JJ McCarthy. Like that's
so
that's
much.
That's who I hope. So I know people are talking about he's got massive upside, all that. That's fine. I would prefer for him to have to realize that upside on the Vikings.
Well, and again, he's like 200 pounds soaking wet. It's like
the Vikings,
you got shorter, faster Goff.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You got shorter, faster Goff. Good luck.
Okay, he plays exactly like Goff. I've only seen a few like games with him, but that's a really good comparison.
Midwest Goff. Yeah. It's Goff's from Cal. Yeah, I mean, there's an argument to be made that like the North is going to be one of the most competitive divisions. Just like if where these teams are slotted to draft and like the talent they stand to acquire like pans out, like
Minnesota arming up because they're like, we're three, four years into this thing. And we're about to fall behind if we don't get a rookie contract quarterback who actually, you know, we can build around for the next couple of years. Like,
I mean, the furthest they ever got, which, I mean, again, like, I'll always respect Kirk Cousins because he's, like, the biggest bag getter in NFL history. But what's the furthest they ever got with him? The divisional round? Like, they never won a divisional round game.
Yeah, I mean, they went further with Case Keenum, right? So
Yeah, that's true. That was the NFC Championship. So, yeah, I mean, they're kind of stuck in that. Like you said, they're one of the teams that has to take one because they don't really have any other options. I will admit, I don't know a ton about where the Lions are even picking. Like, I have not paid that much attention to Detroit in this offseason, but
I don't think anyone has. I feel like nobody is really talking about because they don't have anything like exciting. Like, because obviously, like the Vikings having 2 first round picks, the Bears having a number 1 overall pick. Like, we're hearing a lot about them, and then we're obviously hearing about the Packers because we're
right because that's who we follow. Yeah.
But like, I feel like the Lions, nobody is talking about outside of Lions fans.
Yeah, I think they'd look at safety, but I think that's probably maybe a trade back scenario, and maybe that's just what they need to do is trade back. Because I think there's going to be a run on, you know, those guys that we talked about, right? Like Mims and stuff like that. Like, those guys are going to be gone. I think Zeitler is just a short-term stopgap for them. But, like, you know.
Is that the son of the actual – of Kevin Zeitler?
No, this is actual – no, this is the Kevin Zeitler to me. I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, because wasn't there a Kevin Zeitler that played in the league – a few years ago, or like, I mean,
he played for the Bengals, the
Browns, and stuff. That's him.
Oh,
yeah, with the Bengals.
That's still.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a guy in the draft.
No.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's on the Lions.
Gotcha. Okay.
I think they could look at safety depending on what they want to do with Brian Branch. Which is funny that Lions fans are like, we took Brian Branch in the second round, and they're like, well, he's a nickel, and they're like already trying to move him.
Yeah,
like, dude, you took a nickel in the second round.
He was annoyingly good though last year.
You know that who's better? The picks that the Packers got for him, which were
Drew,
Reed, and who's the lineman? Carl Brooks.
Yeah, Carl Brooks. Yeah, I'll take that trade.
So yeah, I mean, the Lions are probably in a spot where trading back makes a lot of sense, and just like you're not really gonna penetrate that first line of the depth chart.
No.
So, like, just backfill. Just continue to backfill because contracts are coming.
Yeah, I mean, in this league now, obviously they're playing 17 games. Like, the deeper you are, the better. Like, depth is huge. And I think that's what makes the Packers roster right now so interesting is, like, you feel good about so many starting spots, but it's, like, we know it's a war of attrition. Like, there's going to be injuries. So then it's, like, how worried do you get? Because – you know, they had a lot of injuries. Like, it seems like they get injuries in concentrated positions, right? Like, 3 linemen go down, or like, right, 2 corners, or
they're both of their linebackers. Like,
yeah. Or like, yeah, you know, the 2015 year, like, every wide receiver was injured. Like, so that's like the one group, obviously, at receiver, you feel like not only do you feel good about everyone playing, but like they can absorb injuries because you feel good about anyone being a starter, which is like very rare.
Right.
So if you can get to 2 position groups like that on a team, I think you feel really, really good because not many teams can do that.
Let's make it offensive line.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Because I think that's what really matters, because they're about to invest what everyone's going to call an overpay in Jordan Love. Right. Cause it's always going to be sticker shock. So like when it happens and the numbers come out, people are going to freak out because he's will have only started 10 games in his career, or sorry, a season's worth of games, but 10 really good ones in his career. So everyone's going to freak out at the number, but you might as well protect him because that's going to be easily your most expensive asset for the next however long that extension is.
Yeah.
Well, but at this point, like, it doesn't even matter because like front load that bitch and like, because you got so many fucking rookies as your starters, and then he'll be cheap in 2 years. Like, he'll be underpaid in a year.
I would love if they would front load his deal. I don't see it, but that'd be awesome.
It's going to be all
Cause you'd have so much flexibility. You don't have to worry about who are you worried about paying next at this point? Probably one of Dobbs and Watson. Right. Well,
and if Kenny, not at this point,
if they do Kenny, that's true. Kenny.
I think it's Kenny, and then the next year is Tom, right? So
Tom, I think they'll just get done. It'll be let's get this guy sooner rather than
you gotta pay that dude.
Tom
is gonna sign before Rashid Walker, right?
Oh yeah.
And that's all all you need to know about
what
you know the caliber of those offensive linemen. So
I think I would at this point Dobbs and Watson, neither of them move the needle for me. I think I know a lot of people love Dobbs, and I feel
I'm sorry, say, guys.
I know Romeo he's a fan Dobbs, favorite. Aaron. I know. It's but I do think he's a James Jones to me when I look at him. So I think he's a wide receiver three. So I don't want you to pay him a shit ton of money. If another team is gonna pull a fucking Runyon and pay him $10 million, not pay him that contract, let him walk.
Right, if the Jaguars give him $17 million a year,
please not
do not even answer his agent's phone calls.
I'll view it the same as I viewed MBS, which is I love him and I'd love to have him back. But when the Chiefs wanted to give MBS $10 million a year, I was okay. Well, I'm glad he got paid, but I don't want the Packers paying that.
Well, and you can't pay Dobbs is right now either.
Dobbs is their touchdown guy. He's their red zone.
He's the James Jones.
That's a perfect comp.
He's not flashy, but he can make some ridiculous catches that you're how the fuck did that even happen? But
he's slower than the rest of the receivers, but has strong hands, and he's their red zone target. That's literally James Jones.
And Watson, you can't pay either right now.
No,
it's a big year for those two guys.
Yeah.
So I would be surprised if those two guys are even on the docket to get paid.
I think it's the biggest year on the Packers for two specific players, Stokes and I would say Kenny Clark too, to be honest.
If they're gonna extend him, I feel it'll happen before the season.
Stokes has to be good because they're certainly not picking up his fifth year option. No. And
he's going into a contract year basically.
I was gonna say, Oh no, it's only his third year, isn't it? No.
No, it's
so don't they have to pick up his first year option, fifth year option, right now?
They'd have to do it this year.
It's the month after the draft. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
They're not gonna they're not doing
it. Yeah, which they're not doing. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's pretty much his last year.
Even if there was a chance, it got thrown out because they did it to Darnell Savage and obviously regretted it. It's they're not gonna do it 2 years in a row.
Right.
So yeah, we kind of talked about the Vikings a little bit, and we kind of talked about the Bears. We barely talked about the Lions, but I want to circle back to the Bears because do you guys think that I think Caleb Williams is coming in with, there's always going to be pressure being the first overall pick and being seen as the best quarterback and generational prospect, which is a stupid term because there's three generational prospects every 2 years, which is not a generation. but he could come in and if he's even a little bit of what they want him to be, the Bears could be a sneaky fringe playoff team now that seven freaking teams make the playoffs.
Yeah, and the NFC is, well, at least last year wasn't impressive. Good. Yeah. Things have to fall into place.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they can make the seventh wild card spot, but
yeah,
they're not winning the division.
More than that. No, hell no.
Yeah,
no way.
Not
but even. Because they were that, they were a few games, whatever, from being in playoff contention late in the season, and Justin Fields was actively bad. So they built everything else up around him. So we know they're losing two to the Packers, by default. That's just how it goes.
I don't even know if they could be sticky. I mean, because I would still put the Vikings ahead of them as far as their roster, especially did this offseason. I thought they had a pretty good they've had a pretty good offseason so far. So they would have to, that would mean then the Cowboys wouldn't make the playoffs because the Eagles are obviously probably going to, I don't know. The Eagles are a big question mark, but they made some moves, but it's going to be the Cowboys and the Eagles ahead of them. So it would have to there would just have to be a lot of teams that didn't make the playoffs. And that's where I would be like, it would like, even if every other team in the division, even if they're the, I don't know. I don't think so.
Like, I think Chicago is clearly going to be better than, like, let's go through the divisions, right? The West, I think they're probably on par with, like, the Cardinals and Seahawks, right? And
yeah.
North, right.
I think every team is probably has a better playoff chance than them. And the South.
South is awful.
They're better than the Panthers. They're probably on par with the Falcons.
Oh, really? See, I think the Falcons are better.
I don't know, man.
With Kirk Cousins, maybe? Yeah. Like, well, if you... Well,
like they're going to score
Atlanta hasn't had a pass rusher my entire adult life.
So. That's true. they had those couple of years of Vic Beasley.
1 year.
Yeah, I haven't heard that name in a long time.
But yeah, I mean, they're going to be better than Saints? The Giants. They're going to be better than the Commanders. I think they're on par with the Saints. I think the Bucks are probably a little bit better.
Yeah.
So there's five teams better than, that the Bears are better than in the NFC.
Basically what you're what you're naming off, like you're confirming what we were saying, that like the NFC is just kind of mid, like overall.
It really is.
Yes.
Like
yes.
That's why I think like it would take a lot for them. I mean, sure, any team is a playoff team if
they won the offseason
in their favor. Right. Already. They always do. So. They do every year. Exciting time for them. But I do not think they're going to make the playoffs. I'm willing to make that claim.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't predict that they're going to. Yeah. I was just saying, like, they could be one of those annoying teams, you know, just by virtue of, like, getting that QB upgrade, which assume it will be because Fields was actively terrible.
Do you guys know who the Bears quarterbacks are in OTAs right now?
Do they still have Nathan Peterman?
No, he signed with somebody else.
Yeah. There's two.
Tyson Bagent and
Brett Rippin.
What is it? Oh, Raiders? Is that where Nathan Peterman went?
Oh my God, Brett Rippin.
No, he was Saints. Nathan Peterman went to the fucking Saints.
Brett Rippin, who was so bad, where after they lost to the Packers,
that's
he was out
right.
of the league.
They signed him.
Yeah,
you're done.
They cut him. He started it, and then they cut him.
They were like, "You couldn't beat a Joe Barry defense. You're cut. Like, we don't. We're not here. You're not on our team. Yeah. So like." So that's kind of what the division looks like. I mean, the Packers are going to be the hot money to win the division, right? Like,
I don't know. I think people will also be betting on the Lions.
Honestly, like, if I were to, like, rank the threats, it would be Minnesota 1, Lions 2, and then Bears. Minnesota's just got so much high-end talent that it's just –
it's really hard to
stop that team if they have a quarterback.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and I know you were talking about, you know – are they really going to rely on Sam Darnold? But like, you can probably get by with a Sam Darnold when you have a healthy TJ Hockenson and an Addison and a Justin Jefferson. Like, you have too many weapons almost. Like, anyone with arm talent should be able to make it work. Like,
yeah, they couldn't at the NFC.
Like,
playing
obviously,
like five different quarterbacks.
Obviously, Kyle Shanahan is like. And like a guru, but like if you put Kyle Shanahan on the Vikings, like you could win with Sam Darnold,
right?
Right? If they have like a good play caller, and you know, like they do have a great.
I think their offense is like, I was really surprised at how good their offense was with what is it, O'Connell?
Yeah,
who the hell's McConnell?
You're thinking of Mitch McConnell? Mitch McConnell.
I try not to think of Mitch McConnell.
He finally decided he's too old for Congress, so he's going to call plays for the Vikings instead.
His corpse is out there on the field every week. Oh, God.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel comfortable saying, like, no matter how the draft goes, I'll probably pick the Packers to win the division. Like, they ended the season...
I don't think that's a bad bet at all.
They ended the season on way too... like on way too hot of a streak, and they just kept getting better and better and better, as opposed to like a team like the Eagles, right? They started out super hot and they had one of the worst endings to a season like that I can ever remember.
Like,
they called Belichick apparently. If you guys,
yeah,
I heard the Van Notta thing,
right. Which is why it's a very interesting opening week game, by the way, with the Packers playing them in Brazil. Like,
that's
one
so
team
fun.
With,
I love that. I wish I
could. One
we're
team
not
like,
supposed to wear green. They ban green in the stadium.
Yeah, I don't think that's
good
though. Like, yeah, yeah, they're like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say the same thing. Their rival wears green. So they're like, the stadium unofficially bans green. And they're like, we fight people if they wear green. It's like,
yeah,
it's Eagles Packers, baby.
Two like, green yeah. teams.
I've already seen like people in Brazil, like there's a lot of really great like Brazilian like cheesehead accounts, like Packers fans accounts. And they've already
that's said, why
like,
they sent our ass over there. Is there so many of them?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, it is going to be a Packers home game. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I'm so 100%. Excited for the Brazil fans. That is like one of those random markets that I see like have seen tweets from over the years. And I'm like, if I was really hyped when it was announced that it was them.
I'm either really one of you, them. Are either one of you going to try to go? I'm really going to try to go.
No.
I will not be trying to go. I've heard the travel to get into that city is terrible.
So. It's brutal. Yeah. Supposedly supposed to be, which is why Mark Murphy was like, our runways are too short. We don't want to go. Like, yeah.
Right, we don't feel like it. Yeah. No, I probably will not go. There's it out of India. I like looked at flights. It's like $1,500. Like it's ridiculous. And I'm
did
like,
you say out of India,
Indy.
Oh,
Indy.
I was like, wait, why are you flying out of India?
It's the cheapest route. Fly from Indianapolis to India.
We've outsourced Aaron. We've outsourced Aaron.
Yep.
All right, so do anyone have anything else to add about the draft before we move on to the garnish?
Yeah, let's blow this joint.
All right. Wait, does that count?
Yeah.
That absolutely counts.
You think I fucking say normally, let's blow this joint?
Wouldn't that be a
weeb? Could you imagine?
You know what? I was focusing on you saying blow and not joint. I was like, isn't that a cocaine pun?
No. We're just doing drug like, puns.
Yeah, it's like, wow, you just... Weed is a gateway drug. You just went right to coke after that.
No, I was so offended. I legitimately thought you thought that I was a fucking dweeb that said, let's blow this joint.
So
1950s with a leather jacket. Right. My cat just jumped over my laptop. Aww.
Hey, that counts as a pet appearance.
Yeah, I can show mine. Oh, she's behind my cooler.
There oh, she is. Hides behind napping. Your cooler.
Yeah, she's napping because my boyfriend's out of town. So
definitely likes being picked up. I can tell.
Sorry, people, you can't see him or her.
So the NBA today.
Oh, Oliver.
Oh, he's mad.
Yeah, see, he really liked being picked up. You can tell.
Mine doesn't like it.
Yeah, so the NBA, as we're recording this on a Wednesday today, banned Jontae Porter for betting not only on himself, like not only betting on NBA games, but betting on himself and betting on his team to lose games.
For life.
He is banned for life. So
my favorite word that somebody used today said banished. And I was like, that sounds so medieval. I'm like, that's a great way. You've been banished from this.
Exiled.
Home. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, Adam Silver is a pretty lenient commissioner too. So the fact that he got banned for life, I feel like if it was still David Stern, like, he would have been like sentenced to death or something.
Dude, he would have. Sure. They would have done him like the Boeing exec. Like, yeah,
for real. He just from Jontae Porter in 2 weeks.
Suicide. Two bolts to the head.
Crazy. Execution style.
Yeah. With his hands zip tied.
Right.
So we're just gonna go and say what would it take. For some NFL personalities, players, coaches, you know, even we can go broadcasters and analysts and all that to get banned for life from the NFL. Other than
sportscasters, do you have somebody in mind?
No, I was just saying anyone within the
NFL. What do you got on Romo?
Yeah.
I genuinely think Romo is already calling games drunk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what Romo could do.
Some of those cutups.
Right, yeah. It has to be
a slur. Yeah, he hits a home run.
Castellanos.
Yeah. Wait, didn't he like almost say one, or people thought he did at like one game last year, but he said a different word.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it certainly
dropped like an M-bomb, but
yeah, it certainly sounded like he did. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, but I think he like stumbled.
They hit
over
Max
words.
Crosby with that too, though.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
And Max Crosby, like, well, I feel like Max Crosby probably's got the pass in the locker room. It seems like
I love that he gets to play with Minshew after that fucking mic'd up episode.
Oh yeah, that was good.
What did he say? I missed that.
Oh my god, I can't even remember what exactly he said.
It was during whenever they played each other this year. That was like one of the best like mic'd up segments.
Yeah,
that the NFL had.
I will look it up while you guys discuss, and I can report.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see, right? If you shall not be named faces any punishment for suggesting the CIA created AIDS.
They're not going to do anything to Aaron, dude. Like, he literally is a 9/11 denier playing for the New York Jets.
He kept calling Minshew little ass boy. And Minshew, he's like talking to his teammates. He's like, he keeps calling me little ass boy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you just got to take it in stride if it's Max Crosby. The other thing is he's not leaving the field ever, so you got to play like 60 snaps against him.
He literally ruined the game against the Packers. That was so freaking annoying.
He's a freak. I respect that dude so much.
Yeah, right. Like
his if you look at his like per like the percentage of snaps he plays like 95% of the snaps.
Yeah, he never comes off the field. It's insane.
Insane. Insane.
And the Raiders don't have a good defense, so they're on the field a lot. Like, he's playing a shit ton of snaps.
Yeah,
the clip's just really funny because Minshew looks like he's like fucking high, and he's like, I'm a little out here, but not always, you know. It's so funny. Okay, he's literally like the guy from fucking Napoleon Dynamite, Uncle Rico.
Speaking of which, you think that guy's gonna start for the Raiders? Like, that's no the other way. Thing.
Wait, where
like,
are they
that
picking?
Team's gotta take a quarterback too. Like
they're picking
right, because you also feel like
I think they're picking 12.
Yeah, they're in the they don't have like a they're in the middle of the first round.
And when's Adams' contract up? Like they need like they have spent so much money on that. Like they need like wasting a year of him, and at his age, woo.
The Raiders pick.
It's like 11th or something, or like 15th or something.
13th.
13th.
Yeah.
Right. Between.
So, again, like all these.
13. God dang.
Yeah. So this is actually an interesting question because Justice just saying they're never going to do anything to you know who. What would he have to say for the league to actually like suspend him for even like a couple games?
He would have to take one more step on the conspiracy ladder and go to anti-Semitism. And then maybe.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Like if you went like the Kyrie route. And
yeah,
like,
yeah. But like, who's the NFL player that made like some anti-Semitic comments? And like, his PR move was he went to like a Holocaust museum. Like, it was
DeSean Jackson.
Yeah,
oh,
that was nuts. Yeah, but like the league did nothing, right? They didn't suspend him.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I think they fined him, but I don't think that he was suspended.
I don't. They're not gonna stop Aaron.
Right.
Yeah, and because he didn't get to play last year, like he's. Yeah. Last year, he was the draw of the league, and now they get that all over again. He's going to be the draw.
New York is such a big thing for them. Like, just think about, like, even the Black Friday thing.
Amazon
Prime had them in, and it's because they wanted the biggest market in the United States to have to watch Prime Video on Black Friday instead of going out to stores.
Instead of going to brick and mortars, yeah.
So, like, no, he means way too much to the league, just in terms of, like, hype and eyes and stuff.
And it's funny too, because like
to kill somebody, like legitimately kill somebody.
You have to be involved in like an Aaron Hernandez investigation.
Right. I mean, he flirted with the idea of running for vice president during the season.
Okay, so I'm very curious. Do we think that he would have like still played?
No, you couldn't. There's no way you couldn't.
Yeah, because I think
you couldn't practice ever.
He's not one. I don't think he thinks they have a chance.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Which is probably why he said no. I think he would have said yes if he thought that he actually had a chance to like win.
You can't do both. Like, I don't see any way in the world.
I'm just saying
there's no way he goes out blown Achilles four plays in
and never plays again.
And then never plays again.
Yeah.
And retires.
But if he thinks that he can't do it, or this team is ass or something after what happened last season, if he thinks that there's no way for this to all work out, I could 100% see him being like, well, this is my way to get out of this without looking like I'm giving up. I was given an opportunity.
There's like a global UN summit and he can't go because like the Jets are playing the Bills on Sunday.
Speaking of which, how many wide receivers do you think he's texting Joe Douglas about just constantly?
Oh.
He's like, this one, give me this one, give me this one. No,
not
defense,
texting,
no
FaceTiming for sure.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's FaceTime.
You think, yeah, individual podcast for Joe Douglas.
Lazard is still wide receiver too, right? On that squad right now.
Yeah, technically, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we do with Mike Williams?
Oh, that's right. They did take Mike Williams. They picked up Mike Williams.
I don't.
But he's always hurt. Like, yeah, always hurt.
I mean, which is like, I assume that they think that he's just gonna be like their wide.
But he's better than Lazard when he's not hurt.
Right. Right.
Like, by far. Like, he's easily the second best receiver on the team.
I don't know, but what's finally the end. We don't have to be worried about it.
I know, it's fun to laugh at.
I love that we don't have to. Oh, it's so nice. So nice.
Would touching the ref get you banned? No, I guess not. I mean, Quay's had a couple of them. I was going to say, like, what if someone gets one of these hip drops and just goes ape shit at a ref?
Just freaks out.
Yeah.
But see, the higher profile you are, like, you
have to. Involved.
You have to really fuck up.
Has anyone like ever punched a ref or like?
There has to have been.
On the field? No, I can't imagine on the field.
Has to have been. I've gotten ejected from a sideline in a high school football game before. So
I feel like one of the 60s Packers might have. I feel like Ray Nitschke might have kicked a ref's ass at some point or something. I don't know.
God. I just started to Google it, and Google populated it. I said, has any NFL player, and it says died on the field, was what they populated.
Well, yes.
Yeah, that's a yes now.
That has happened.
The first three things that are up here. Jesus. Everybody's depressy.
All right, while you guys look that up, I'll pose this question. What if we woke up to news tomorrow that Lamar Jackson got kicked out of the NFL indefinitely, what do you think it would be for?
It has to be gambling, right?
If it's a who? I'm sorry.
Lamar
I did
Jackson.
Find
Lamar
somebody. Jackson. Oh, Lamar Jackson.
Why are we doing this to Lamar? Keep Lamar.
Yeah.
I'm following Lamar to whatever league he plays in. So
yeah, that's true. NFL. Yeah.
Yeah.
If Lamar went to the UFL, like all the games would start selling out immediately.
Yeah. A Jets defensive lineman, Michael Clemens, extended an arm and open hand struck the face of a ref who later spit blood. But it looked accidental.
Whatever. That could just mean that he bit his...
The ref was attempting to break things up, so
that could just mean like he bit his tongue.
But that was this past year, so
oh, it was
in November. They were apparently fighting, but I don't know. Someone accidentally punched a ref in the Egg Bowl.
The Egg
Bowl. That seems like some Egg Bowl stuff. Yeah.
Anyways,
that seems like the most excitement you could have watching the Egg Bowl.
Like they have.
That happened on Thanksgiving, then. Right? Egg Bowl's Thanksgiving or day after?
I think so, yeah. I mean, if he was still in the league, I would put money that like Antonio Brown would be the first player to punch a ref.
Oh, yeah.
On the field.
Right. Yeah.
He's like Vontae Davis quit at halftime and then he took it up a notch and literally quit like during an active quarter and took his jersey off.
I genuinely do not know what an NFL player would have to do other than betting on their own games or like rigging their own games, basically.
Well, let's think hypothetical. So what would like Lamar Jackson, it would be something of like just not having an agent. Like that would piss the NFL off that they're like, we're done. We're not.
They freeze him out.
How dare you have like your own, like handling your own shit. That would be shit that the NFL would be like, no, we're not into this. No, thank you.
Like when people thought Caleb Williams was like, I want to own part of the team I play for. Like, okay.
Right. Good luck. There's no way the NFL would allow that.
That's the point that I was like, okay, we need the draft now. That was like 2 months ago already.
Yeah.
For me, it's the we need the draft now was all the nail polish and the pink.
Oh my god, so stupid.
Discourse. Like, I'm fucking done with this. This is what has been entertaining though is because I do have some Bears fan mutuals on Twitter, and they have been fighting like Packers fans were like last year.
It's they're way worse than we've been. They were way worse than we were. They're like legit civil war. So. Like they're like threatening each other.
Civil war, physical harm. Though. It was civil war last year for sure. But who else? Who else plays in the NFL? Travis Kelce. What's he getting banned from the NFL for?
Oh, well, people were mad that he was chugging a beer on stage at his own graduation. So maybe if he starts slamming beers on the sideline, they're
were,
going.
I saw
By
people being
people,
like,
do you
he's
mean
35
Christian
years
Watson?
old. He's 35 years old. Why is he drinking like this? It was like, I don't know if you guys have turned 30 yet, but
I just turned 34, so I'm gonna have a
yeah.
drink for that.
I'm 37, so yes, I feel
God
that.
damn, Monty. Every time you say that, I'm like, you're full of shit. There's no way.
I know.
I
It's
wouldn't make
impressive.
it up.
I think, well, I think his brother is getting banned from the NFL because did you guys hear that he lost his Super Bowl ring?
He lost it?
Oh my God. Okay. Let me tell you the story. I just found out about this because it is related to that event that they did in Cincinnati. And you
Okay.
are never going to guess how he fucking lost this. So I will just tell you. So they did a little competition. Why he used his real Super Bowl ring, I have no fucking idea, is they filled little swimming pools with Skyline chili. So noodles,
Oh
like
my God.
spaghetti noodles, chili, and cheese. And then they put
The worst
socks.
chili in the world, by the way.
Then they had socks and put fake Super Bowl rings in them. Like they had two different pools and they had fake Super Bowl rings, but one had his real Super Bowl ring in it. And they mixed it around in the chili. And then they had two people like fish for them, like dove in it. And like they were talking about it on their New Heights podcast and said like they were fishing for them out and they could not find his real one. They had to drain these like little pools, could not find it. It is still missing. And I'm
So
like,
wait,
this is the most unbelievable way to lose your
that's an
fucking
inside
Super
job. This is what you would
Right.
build
Right.
to steal Jason
Steal a
Kelce's
ring.
Super Bowl ring.
Right,
Yeah.
right. It's
If you had
Dion.
a
They're just like, here,
heist,
we run a heist.
if you had
I
a
love
heist plan, it would that's perfect. Like it's working. That's
a chili
insane.
heist.
I'd be
But you know,
scared
like
that the chili would be like corrosive to
right.
Right?
anything.
Oh yeah. Well, and Travis Kelce was saying like
When you
he
could never
like
get all the
it's
chili
they
out from
said that
in
it
between the diamonds, right?
right.
Like,
Oh my God. Well, and Travis said like it had been sitting out there for hours. He said like I couldn't even stand over by where these people were competing because it smelled so
disgusting.
bad. Yeah,
That's
I think
disgusting.
but that is how he lost the Super Bowl ring. So I saw that today, a little clip of that. I
So
don't know how when it was just a clip,
maybe he
but
would get banned if he was still playing for like losing the Lombardi trophy, because it seems like.
right. Yeah.
But it seems like what we find out is like the ring itself doesn't necessarily mean as much as we think to the players, because like they it's like always one of the first things they pawn off, right, for money,
Well, it's
and
because
like
it's so bulky, they can't wear it.
right,
Like,
you can never there's no practical place to wear a championship
and
ring in
they're
any sport.
apparently, I just had this conversation with someone. They're apparently very, very heavy. So,
Yeah,
like, I've tried
they're
on a Super Bowl
huge.
ring. I actually tried on Steve McMichael's Super Bowl ring once, but that was like obviously at 85, so it was like a carrier
Modest by
ring, right? Like
today's,
it was,
yeah.
but like now they weigh like so much that they're like it's uncomfortable to even wear because it's so big, but also it's heavy. It's like
This
where do you
is
wear
why I go
it?
back to someone needs to give out chains instead of
Yeah.
rings. Wasn't
Well,
somebody
the
doing
Bears
that?
tried. The Bucks kind of did that, remember? Like
Did they?
their ring, it was still a ring, but it was like meant to be worn on
Yeah,
like
they have like
on
a
a
chain in
chain because it
it.
was like a
Yeah.
pendant.
Yeah, which is, I think, a really brilliant idea
Yeah.
of
But yeah,
like
no,
that's
you're
the
right.
best
Ch
medium.
chains is way more practical. You would actually wear that like
Right.
out.
And we
Right.
get the whole chain snatching thing and everything.
Yeah.
We
Yeah,
bring
don't wear it
Akeem.
around. Don't wear it around Aqib Talib.
Talib
Wait, was Talib the snatcher, or did he get it snatched by Michael Crabtree?
was the
Talib.
snatcher.
Snatchy or the
Okay,
snatcher.
yeah. Okay.
Michael Crabtree was the snatchy, yeah.
I think Travis Kelce would be like banned from the NFL. He'd go to like too many Taylor Swift concerts because I keep seeing clips of him at shows, and I'm like, yeah, he's like at every show, so he just stops going to
He's
practice. They're like,
abusing
you're done. Just
his
fucking retire at
PTO.
this point.
How many
Yeah.
practices could he miss?
Does he even practice anymore? Like he's got to be at the point where he doesn't
Right,
even need to,
right.
right?
He just shows
Like, yeah,
up.
probably not.
I mean,
Yeah.
even like
Dude's
Mercedes
35. What do I need
Lewis.
to learn at this point?
Yeah, Mercedes Lewis wasn't even is like isn't even practicing, and he's like not obviously as good as Travis Kelce, so.
Is he? Oh, he is still with the Bears, right?
Is he? I don't. I think was that a one-year
Oh,
deal?
he's a free agent. Bring him back.
Oh, he is. Oh, it's Tonyan that's still with the Bears. No, he's a free agent too. I thought Tonyan had a like multi-year deal.
Sure, whatever. I'll take Big Dog back.
Tonyan and Lewis are both free agents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would take him.
Bring Mercedes back.
Yeah.
If there's one GM in the league that like I would pick to not bring players back, it's gonna be Goody. Like he clearly,
yeah.
He's like, when we're done, like that's it. Like it's over.
That bro is heartless as fuck, yeah, which is like, a good thing in his position because he's probably like a sociopath. Like he probably has like bodies in his cellar because he's like, I just feel nothing.
Okay, but wait, like, I would make the argument. NFL GM, you kind of got to be one of those, right? You got to kind of.
Oh, agreed. I'm not saying he's a bad GM. I am just win. Saying I mean, think he's a sociopath.
You could be bad and just hand out money, but yeah.
Who would be on the Packers if he went with emotions? Jake Kumerow would still be wide receiver one.
I think there's a chance that Aaron Jones would be.
Which I don't think would be a bad move. I don't think. No,
of course not.
Like I'm very neutral on that move. I mean, my heart is ripped to shreds, but like as for a move, I think
for a football move, yeah.
For a football move, I'm neutral on it. Like keep him, don't keep him. Because they got Josh Jacobs, I'm very neutral on it. Like you at least it's not like they're going into the draft with AJ Dillon as their RB1 on his $100,000 contract.
That's terrifying. Like, don't even say that.
right. So like I'm very neutral on that move from like a logistics point. But yeah, if they made moves with their heart, it would, it would be very ugly.
All right. So we're at the hour and 15 minute mark now. So like, this is generally a good time to call.
Hang on. We got to do Nick Bosa. We do.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Fucking garnish. What is Nick Bosa getting kicked out of the NFL for?
Okay. Do we think he would get kicked out if there was like photographic evidence that he stormed the Capitol, like on video? Oh,
I thought you went a different direction. He should. I still argue he should have been banned from the, 21 playoff game in Green Bay, because he urinated at a high school.
Oh, when they were practicing. Oh, I forgot about that.
He should be on the sex offender registry.
That's right? True.
Yeah, his ding-a-ling was out.
He had his dick out in viewing distance of a high school.
That's why when you said photographic evidence, I was like,
I think we already have that. Technically, I do recall seeing.
Well, from the back, not from the front.
Sure, you could have just been doing God knows what.
Like if there was literally like a new video surfaced, and like he's like on the front lines banging on the door of the Capitol.
I think so. I also think he might get banned because he would like expense too many white sheets to the Niners.
They'd be like, the budget. It's like that meme where it's like the guy spending $4,000 on candles. Like the Niners. Right, the Niners are going over their budget. Like we spent 10 grand on bamboo linen.
Like white sheets. What the fuck? I'm spending 10 grand at Bed Bath & Beyond. I might get him banned.
Maybe.
Not if he's playing well. That's the answer to all of this.
That is true. For 100%.
So I'm like, you guys know Tyreek Hill is still in the league, right? Like right. Deshaun Watson is still in the league.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Deshaun Watson still with the most guaranteed money in an NFL fucking history.
And you know what's messed up? Like the only reason that people like still bring up Watson and like how horrible is that he's in the NFL still is because like he hasn't played enough and he hasn't been good when he has. Like if he was killing it, you wouldn't hear it as much from the outlets that you're hearing it from, which is sad, but it's just a fact of life.
I just still don't even think we hear it that much. I think it is fans, like that, like nobody talks about it. Like
analysts aren't
talking about it.
Yeah, any Watson discourse you hear about that is like just from fans on Twitter. Like you're not hearing it from NFL Network or ESPN.
They're complaining about his play. They're not even bringing that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that was a good one. But since we did talk about Mercedes Lewis, I just want to ask a quick question, yes or no. Mercedes Lewis, Packers Hall of Famer? Call it.
No.
He's not making it in. But
you don't think so?
No.
Packers Hall of Famer or Hall of Famer?
No. Well, I don't think he's an NFL Hall of Famer.
I don't think either.
I don't think so either. But the Packers, he wasn't there long enough.
But he was like, they seem pretty lenient. Like, kind of. Like, I guess he was never really like the best tight end or whatever. But like, he was like the fan like favorite. Aaron Jones is a lock, obviously, right? Because he's like right.
yeah.
rushing and all that.
He's like yeah, he's like top three all time in rushing and touchdowns.
Has Mercedes broken any like Packers? Like probably no the chance. Oldest tight end ever played.
No, because he wasn't there that long.
Yeah.
How many? So he played 5 years in Green Bay. How many receiving yards do you think he had?
Oh man, you're right. You're making the case because it's got to be under 200.
No, it's got to be over 200.
You think?
5 years?
Okay, yeah, we're gonna play a fun game.
Are we gonna do over under?
We're gonna do an either or.
Okay. I love Big Dog. Don't make me love him less.
How many more yards do you think he had in his five Packers seasons than Luke Musgrave had last year?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
It's got to be real bad. Maybe it is 200.
Okay, so how many in yards
his career.
How many yards did Luke Musgrave have?
Luke Musgrave had 352.
Oh my god. It's not that many.
So it's got to be less. Did you say how many more?
No, it is more, but we have to guess how many more. Oh man. Well,
here's a better one. Who had more yards? Dontavian Wicks last year or Mercedes Lewis in his
5-year five career
in Green Bay?
I think Wicks had more yards. I do.
I feel like he's trying to trick us. I'll say Wicks. Lewis.
Wicks, who started 6 games last year, had one fewer yard.
Oh my god!
Mercedes Lewis had.
I win.
Wow. Okay.
That's insane, though. That's.
Wicks had 581. Mercedes had 582.
Okay, so he's in based on vibes, but not
based on
vibes.
Yeah. he's in the Hall of Fame of our hearts.
Yeah, he's in the Packer player vibe Hall of Fame.
No way. Who do you think is going to be the next Packers Hall of Famer inducted?
Well, the Jets quarterback. For sure.
Wilson, but
yeah, who got in this year?
Wasn't it Greg Jennings? Or was that last year?
I thought it was Jordy Nelson and Josh Sitton.
No, Jordy had to have
been. Oh, that was 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago. Yeah.
Jordy was in. Was Jennings this year? I feel like it was Greg Jennings.
Why do I feel like he's not in there yet?
No, he's in.
It was Clay Matthews and Aaron Cantman.
That's right. Aaron Cantman.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because I remember when I read that, I was like, I haven't
heard he was very good. Yeah, he was very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you think will be the next one?
Like Morgan Burnett?
Morgan Burnett got in?
No, I'm saying that Morgan Burnett is probably like.
Yeah, that's a good one. Wood, by the way. Wood.
Oh. Wait, that's not a weed pun. Oh, you meant wood as in.
As I would.
Wood. Okay,
as
I got
I would.
You.
I
got
is Raji going to get in? Did he play enough? He probably played.
No.
I tweeted about Raji.
He wouldn't be in already?
I tweeted
like
about Raji the other day, and somebody, I'm not going to call them out because it was not a bad tweet, but it made me realize everybody talks like Raji like he's fucking dead. Like the guy was like,
rest in power.
Because literally, what's the last thing you remember hearing about Vijay Raji? Like he is
that he retired, and then we never heard from him.
He is completely out of this.
No, the guy was like, "Oh yeah, somebody said that he used to talk all the time. He was like always left to chat, blah blah blah." And I'm like this sounds like a fucking like eulogy.
Vijay Raji, he loved birds. Balaga was drafted 2010, the year after Clay Matthews.
Balaga is probably going to be in, especially after he was just on the like fan fest or whatever it is.
Yeah, no, Balaga's in.
Yeah, he's got to be like one of the next ones.
Yeah, no, the easy one is, you know, he who shall not be named will be the next person in the Packer Hall of Fame. Like, that's.
I don't think he'll be the next person. I think it's because he has to retire first.
Yeah, do they have
like an NFL, like an inductee to the Hall of Fame like every year. So I'm saying who's going to be this year? It's not going to be Rodgers because of
said
his name. Because he's not retired. Like I think it would have to be some, but Balaga makes sense because it was the year after Clay Matthews. So like
BJ Raji was the same year as Matthews too, which I guess he retired early though. But
yeah, I don't think Raji played enough. But like, he has a. See, here's the thing. He has.
But would Raji even accept it? Like, is he gonna show up to like get that? I don't even know.
His widow.
He didn't play enough, but he has an iconic play in their Super Bowl run. So like that's. Like, that's why I think he might get in.
He has a Pro Bowl, too. Like,
that's true. He does. I
think he would get in. I'm just saying, would he, like, show up to do all of this?
Oh, yeah. You can't not. Like, you would only not show up if you, like, have a beef with the organization. And if you did, they're not going to vote you into the Hall of Fame. Like,
I mean, I'm sure they pay for everything. Bring your family.
Yeah, of course.
Have a nice dinner. Why not? Yeah.
So this guy said, I posted just like a video of Raji, and he said, I had the incredible chance of having supper with Red Batty a few years back. He said, Raji loved to debate everything with anyone. He talked 24/7, but everyone loved him. I was like, this sounds like a fucking eulogy.
Also, being like a guy from New Jersey's yappy. Is like,
right. Like,
yeah.
breaking what news. I think Balaga makes sense, especially because of him doing that fan fest right now.
Well, now he's way more like, has a lot more exposure because he's on ESPN Milwaukee almost every day. So like he's becoming re-ingrained into the fan base and all that good stuff. So
yeah, I could see.
And he was always
a
favorite.
Has Kuhn been inducted yet? Because he's
Kuhn's in.
I wasn't sure if he was in yet or not. Yeah,
really?
I think he is, right?
Wow.
Let's see.
I guess he would be.
I mean, he played for forever, and I guess he still does stuff with the team. But first team All Pro, second team All Pro, 3-time Pro Bowl. I forget fullbacks getting the Pro Bowl.
What the fuck am I looking at? Oh, apparently Kuhn was nominated for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
No, so Kuhn is eligible. Kuhn is eligible for the Packers Hall of Fame this year.
And then he's probably going to be their next one.
He works for the team also.
He works for the team. So
he literally works for the team.
Yeah, it's going to be him. Gonna be the one.
All right, we figured it out.
Yeah.
All right, so we will wrap this one up. Our next show will be after the draft because we'll have a draft extravaganza recap. I'm excited because as soon as this draft is over, like all we're going to be doing is counting down to the 2025 in Green Bay draft. Like I want that. I'm ready for that already. So,
but the team is like maybe sabotaging.
Yeah. That was really weird when Mark Murphy was like, it could affect us hosting the draft. Like don't say that. Like,
it's like, dude, this is the one time you're going to be able to like showcase that you guys can actually host events. Do not fuck this up.
Right,
do not play defense against yourself.
Even if they ever built a dome, which they won't, they probably still would not ever get a Super Bowl. So, like, this is as big as it will get.
They don't have the hotel infrastructure. They're talking about people staying in Milwaukee and busing up every day.
Yeah,
I'm like,
that'd be a nightmare.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, the ultimate move would be trade next year's first round pick, right? Tell the city of Green Bay, like, hey, we're trading next year's first round pick to move up in this draft unless you get you guys.
God, I can't even believe the Packers are hosting the draft next year.
Could you imagine?
I'm sorry. I just had like a little existential crisis.
Could you imagine if Jordan Love like hadn't panned out and like they would be like a QB? Like,
oh my God.
They draft a QB in round one next year at the draft, but we don't have to worry about that, thankfully.
This would be everyone's reaction. Oh, I had to get that hot.
Yeah, I had to use it at least once.
That was, in case you have not seen it, that was our lovely sandwich and a great video that we've turned into a meme.
All right, so before we get out of here, Justice, what do you want to plug? I know you are working 24/7, so come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, check out Acme Packing Company. We got a bunch of stuff up on the site today. Don't know when this is coming out, but on Wednesday, we started our voting basically for the prospects. We're ranking prospects. Who are kind of like realistic targets for the Packers and then building a big board up until draft day. So much stuff on the side about, you know, who's visiting the Packers. You know, you guys have heard like their threshold stuff. We've done that for like the offensive line and all that. Archon has written like basically like a big board.
I'm drinking for the threshold reference.
Archon's written like a big board basically for like, you know, Packers type players and stuff like that. So if you want to follow that during the draft, that's great. All sorts of stuff on APC, but no podcasts. anymore. So this is where you're going to hear me, apparently.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, if you want to join us every week, we would not be mad about it. We're just going to have everybody.
I have to be a guest. You can't call me a host. So.
Oh, that's stupid.
Reoccurring guest.
You can find me on Acme Packing at some point. Once the draft's over, I'll actually start writing. Because you don't want my draft analysis. It would just be like, I've heard this guy's fine. That's great.
We're going to get Aaron on the jersey number vibes.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. That's perfect.
Yeah. I can do my jersey swaps again. One of my traditions. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at HEROOINE. You can also find me, not this week. We took the week off, but we are doing a lot on watching stuff. We're watching all the X-Men stuff. And next week we'll be watching a really terrible movie in
X-Men Origins, The Wolverine.
Right, The Wolverine, yeah. Which was one of the worst movies we've watched, I think, so far. So you have that to look forward to. And you can also watch or listen to that, all of our other episodes. So you can find me there with Monty and Dusty.
And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Ferd Turgeson, FERD_TURGESON. And then I'm also on Friday, Pack a Day Podcast with both Dan Kotnick and Camille Davis. This week, we are just going through the history of Brian Gutekunst's drafts with the Packers, because now everybody on this team is his pick other than Kenny Clark. So this is truly his team. So we kind of go back and do a retrospective on that. So don't miss that out on Friday.
Nice.
All right. So Justice, thanks for joining us. As always,
this is our third year with Justice on our Draft Palooza. So
he's our official draft correspondent, and we pay him very well to do it.
Yeah, someone's got to do it.
Someone's got to join this shit show.
So we will see you guys after the draft. And until then, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.